Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 30th. ConocoPhillips adopts multi-basin focus. Acquisition of Marathon Oil for $22.5 billion will extend its lead as largest independent producer. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Just weeks after ExxonMobil completed its acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources, another multi-billion dollar deal has been announced. ConocoPhillips, which now ranks among the top Permian Basin producers after acquiring Contra Resources and Shell's Permian Basin assets, has agreed to acquire Marathon Oil in an all-stock transaction valued at $22.5 billion, including $5.4 billion of net debt. The deal will bring to ConocoPhillips Marathon's 800 net acres and 580,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in the Delaware Basin. Quote, looking at the Permian, our existing asset base is much larger in size, making the Marathon acreage position more of a traditional bolt-on, adding 400 more locations to our already deep inventory base, Andy O'Brien, Senior Vice President, Commercial Strategy, Sustainability, and Technology, said during a conference call to discuss the deal. He noted Marathon's Permian position is lightly developed and recent performance has shown strong oil productivity. Quote, Marathon's acreage will also provide us more opportunities to core up for longer lateral development via swaps and trades, which is something that we do every day, he said. What differentiates this from other recently announced deals, ExxonMobil and Pioneer, Diamondback Energy and Endeavor Energy Resources, Occidental and Crown Rock, is its multi-basin focus, said Andrew Dittmar, principal analyst at Enverus Intelligence Research. Quote, the transaction represents a pivot in U.S. shale M&A from deals focused on increasing exposure in a single key basin or play to acquiring a multi-basin operator, Dittmar told the Reporter Telegram by email. Combining with Marathon will boost ConocoPhillips' market capitalization above $150 billion, extending its lead as the largest independent producer and placing it broadly on the same scale as majors, above BP and behind Shell, he wrote. ConocoPhillips is leveraging its premium market valuation, which it shares with the majors, to strike a deal that will immediately boost its free cash flow profile and enhance its capital return program for investors, he added. The deal also adds 2,600 net remaining drilling locations to Conoco's portfolio, giving it about 13,000 net remaining untapped locations across its U.S. shale resource, plus the Montney in Canada, Dittmar continued. In particular, it boosts ConocoPhillips' position in the Eagle Ford by increasing its net location count by 85%. Quote, ConocoPhillips will also likely look to sell off portions of the Marathon portfolio it views as non-core, he speculated. A likely candidate is Marathon's position in the Anadarko Basin. The position produces about 45,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, has over 400 net remaining drilling locations, and would be a good fit for a company like Private Continental Resources, end quote. Given the increased regulatory scrutiny for oil and gas deals and ConocoPhillips' existing scale, the deal is likely to receive close scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission, Detmar noted. Quote, working in its favor for approval is the multi-basin nature of the Marathon assets versus concentrated regional exposure like the recent large combination in the Permian. The largest area of concentration and potential FTC concern will be the Eagle Ford, where ConocoPhillips will jump EOG to become the largest operator with 400,000 BOE per day of gross operated production, compared to EOG's 300,000 BOE per day gross operated production, he wrote. Free meals for kids this summer. The story was written by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. As summer approaches, you may be wondering what places are offering summer feeding programs for children. Here are some locations and schedules of where children can find free, healthy meals this summer. Midland ISD. MISD will offer free meals to children 18 years and younger and enrolled students with disabilities up to 21 years old from June 3rd to June 27th at the following schools. Bush Elementary, 5001 Preston. Monday through Thursday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. De Zavala Elementary, 700 North Lee. Monday through Thursday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Great House Elementary, 5107 Great House. Monday through Thursday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. Jones Elementary, 4919 Shady Lane. Monday through Thursday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. Rusk Elementary, 2601 Wedgewood. Monday through Thursday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Long Elementary, 4200 Cedar Springs. Monday through Friday, breakfast 7:15 a.m. to 7:50 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Abel Junior High, 3201 Heritage, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., lunch 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Alamo Junior High, 3800 West Story, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., lunch 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. San Jacinto Junior High, 1400 North N Street, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., lunch 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Coleman High School, 1600 East Golf Course, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., lunch 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Midland High, 906 West Illinois, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8:20 a.m. to 8:50 a.m., lunch 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. Legacy High, 3500 Neely, Monday through Thursday, breakfast 8:20 a.m. to 8:50 a.m., lunch 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. MISD also has two partner sites where kids can receive free meals. Greater Ideal Baptist Church, 301 South Tyler, June 3rd to July 19th. No meals, July 4th and 5th. Monday through Friday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Lamar Elementary, 3200 Kessler Avenue, June 19th to July 19th, no meals July 4th and 5th. Monday through Friday, breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. IDEA Travis. IDEA Travis will provide meals to children 18 years and younger from May 28th to July 26th. Breakfast 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Lunch 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Rope Youth. Rope Youth will be serving meals through their Food First Summer Feed and Read program from June 3rd to August 2nd. Their feeding times are from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Along with a free meal, kids will be able to take a book with them. The location schedule of the food truck can be found on their Facebook page. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry will be providing free meals for kids and their families this summer, Monday to Friday, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 1401 Orchard Lane. West Texas Food Bank. The West Texas Food Bank will provide meals through their summer food service program starting on June 3rd. Here are the SFSP sites in Midland. Boys and Girls Club, Half Park Club, 110 East New Jersey Avenue, June 3rd to July 31st, closed June 17th and July 4th and 5th. Monday through Friday, lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., snack 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Boys and Girls Club, Taylor Park Club, 1321 South Good Street, June 3rd through July 31st, closed June 17th and July 4th and 5th. Monday through Friday, lunch 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., snack 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Midland Downtown Library, 301 West Missouri Avenue, June 3rd to August 2nd, closed July 4th. Monday through Friday, lunch 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Casa de Amigos, 1101 Garden Lane, June 6th through July 25th, closed July 4th. Monday through Thursday, lunch 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., snack 2:45 to 3:15 p.m. Cruisin' Through 101. Festive Community Car Parade marks Evelyn Stewart's birthday bash. More than 30 vehicles gathered at Midland's Memorial Stadium Wednesday afternoon to join in a car parade celebrating the 101st birthday of Evelyn Stewart. The parade was led by a vehicle from the Midland County Sheriff's Office. However, dozens of law enforcement officials and a fire engine from the Midland Fire Department also joined in on the festivities. Stewart was born in Blue Ridge County near McKinney and is the third of six siblings. She came to Midland in 1947 when Southwestern Bell, now AT&T, transferred her from East Texas. She later worked at the Midland Reporter-Telegram, then the First National Bank of Midland, now Bank of America, retiring in 1987. In 1950, Evelyn married Leroy Stewart and celebrated 65 years of marriage before his death in 2015. According to daughter Kay Henderson, her mother's advice to others is to never stop moving. Quote, "My mother has told us all our lives to stay in motion, to never stop moving, Anderson told the Reporter-Telegram before the parade. Additionally, Stewart is a Midland Rockhounds fan and, according to her daughters, has never missed a game. Stewart has two daughters, three granddaughters, 11 great-grandchildren, and 7 great-great-grandchildren, one of whom resides in heaven. Midland Airport set to conduct disaster drill. The story was written by B.K. Richter. Residents of the Permian Basin area should not be alarmed by the heavy presence of emergency responders at the Midland International Air and Spaceport Thursday. According to a press release from the City of Midland, the disaster drill is part of an FAA-required exercise and should be expected. City officials also advised that every airport for air carrier operations must have an airport emergency plan. Quote, that plan must be reviewed annually and tested with a full-scale exercise every 3 years, the city said. The last disaster drill at the airport was in May of 2021. The purpose of the drill is to evaluate the airport emergency plan with key stakeholders and mutual aid responders to identify strengths and weaknesses within the plan. Quote, if a mass casualty event does occur at the Midland International Air and Spaceport, then the community will be ready to respond and act as needed to help save lives, the city said. The aircraft for the drill is scheduled to arrive at 9:30 a.m. Thursday. The drill will commence once volunteers and mannequins are placed around the aircraft, anticipated between 10 and 10:30 a.m. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 30th. Siblings fail to support one of their own after loss. Dear Abby, my husband passed away from COVID in 2021. A year later, after it was safe to socialize, I had a memorial dinner to commemorate him. Not one of my 7 local siblings attended. They said that was for his family. I didn't argue or try to convince them that I needed them. It was terribly embarrassing when my friends and my husband's friends kept asking to meet my siblings. It's been 2 years since the service and 3 years since his death, and I can't get over feeling abandoned. Although I am cordial, I don't rely on any of them. No one seems to notice my withdrawal, at least they don't discuss the change in my behavior with me. I suppose I need to get over it, but I can't. Signed, So Disappointed in Virginia. Dear So Disappointed, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your husband. It must have been a terrible shock. Your siblings were either grossly insensitive or they may have disliked her husband. That they would avoid his memorial rather than attend and be supportive has to have been painful, and your reaction is understandable. Healthy people don't get over being abandoned in their time of need. I'm not suggesting that it's okay to carry a grudge that would further isolate you, but stepping back seems to have been a wise and self-protective decision. Dear Abby, I have been dating Gary for 6 years, but he has never proposed. I'm very independent. My husband died when my kids were small, and I had to raise them and keep a roof over their heads, which made me even more independent. In fact, there are times I don't think I even want to remarry. Gary and I love each other. We get along well and do a lot of things together. I know we are lucky to have each other in our lives, but there are times I want to break off our relationship because he hasn't asked me for a commitment, and I still want to find somebody who wants to commit himself to me. Although Gary says he is committed, I know being engaged isn't a magical solution either. I have been engaged before. I have tried breaking it off with Gary, but he never takes me seriously. I have felt this way for most of our relationship. I am a counselor, so I know about typical recommendations, such as attending therapy. Should I stay or should I go? Trying to go has not worked out in the past. I need some advice. Signed, To Marry or Not, in Illinois. Dear To Marry or Not, it's time for a candid discussion with Gary about your feelings. Tell him that after 6 years, you need a commitment from him and what exactly that entails. If you do, it may help you to clarify in your own mind what you need and what you think is missing. I don't think you need therapy to figure this out. You simply need to be honest with yourself. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 30th. Carolyn Lois Haley Bowles passed away on Tuesday, May 14th, in Burlington, Vermont, at the age of 84. She was preceded in death by her husband of 57 years, Donald Ray Bowles. She leaves behind her daughter Lara Arnett and husband Eric Arnett, her son Christopher Dixon Bowles, and wife Jade Dixon Bowles, as well as several grandchildren. Carolyn Bowles was born in Boyce, Texas, on June 28, 1939, to Ethel and J.C. Haley, and was the youngest of four children. Carolyn met Don at Bardwell, and they were married in Garrett, Texas, in 1958. They moved to Andrews in 1966 and to Midland in 1977. Funeral services will be held at the Downtown Church of Christ in Midland on Saturday, June 1st at 3 p.m. The burial will follow at Andrews County West Cemetery at 5 p.m. Visitation will be held Friday, May 31st from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at McNett Funeral Home. Arrangements are under the personal care of McNett Funeral Home. Jody K. Presley, age 70, of Tomball, Texas, passed away unexpectedly May 18th. Jody was a Greater Houston area real estate agent for almost 25 years. She also helped operate several family businesses over the years. Jody was a volunteer at South Winds Baptist Church of Tomball, Texas, reading books and helping where needed with the church's school. Jody is survived by Ricky Presley, her husband of more than 49 years, her daughter Jennifer Presley and her son Chris Presley and his wife Laura, and her only grandson Everett Presley, all of Tomball. She is also survived by her sisters, Christy Wright and her husband Greg, and Cindy Hall and her son Joshua Hall, all of Midland. Jody is preceded in death by her parents, Chris and Clara King of Midland, Texas. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on May 29th at Southwinds Baptist Church in Tomball, Texas. Funeral services will immediately follow at 1 p.m. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. on May 31st at Greenwood Baptist Church Cemetery in Midland, Texas. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to CareNet, a pro-abundant life ministry, at www.care-net.org. Arrangements are under the direction of McNutt Funeral Home in Conroe, Texas, and Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland, Texas. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Ted H. Benton, age 82, of Midland, passed away on May 26 in Fort Worth. A viewing will be held on Thursday, May 30th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held on Friday, May 31st, at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. He will be laid to rest privately in Rest Haven North Memorial Park in Midland. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Charlie Dean Duncan of Midland died May 24th in Big Spring. Viewing will be held on Thursday, May 30th from 2 to 5 p.m. Graveside services will be held on Saturday, June 1st at Union Cemetery and Crossroads, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Tommy Lee Jones, age 77, of Midland, passed away on May 26. Cremation services have been arranged. Arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com.
This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, May 30th. ConocoPhillips buying Marathon Oil for $17.1 billion in all-stock deal as energy prices rise. ConocoPhillips is buying Marathon Oil in an all-stock deal valued at approximately $17.1 billion. As energy prices rise and big oil companies reap massive profits, the deal is valued at $22.5 billion when including $5.4 billion in debt. Crude prices have jumped more than 12% this year, and the cost for a barrel rose above $80 this week. Oil majors put up record profits after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, and while those numbers have slipped, there has been a surge in mergers between energy companies flush with cash. Chevron said last year that it was buying Hess in a $53 billion acquisition, though that deal faces headwinds. The company warned the buyout may be in jeopardy because it will require the approval of ExxonMobil and a Chinese national oil company, which both hold rights to development in an oil field off the coast of the South American nation Guyana, where Hess is a big player. In July of last year, ExxonMobil said that it would pay $4.9 billion for Denbury Resources, an oil and gas producer that has entered the business of capturing and storing carbon and stands to benefit from changes in U.S. climate policy. 3 months later, Exxon announced the proposed acquisition of shale operator Pioneer Natural Resources for $60 billion. All of the proposed acquisitions could face pushback from the U.S., which, under the Biden administration, has stepped up antitrust reviews for energy companies and other sectors as well, such as tech. Federal Trade Commission, which enforces federal antitrust law, asked for additional information from Exxon and Pioneer about their proposed deal. The request is a step the agency takes when reviewing whether a merger could be anti-competitive under U.S. law. Pioneer disclosed the request in a filing in January. As part of the ConocoPhillips transaction, Marathon Oil shareholders will receive 0.2550 shares of ConocoPhillips common stock for each share of Marathon Oil common stock that they own, the companies said Wednesday. ConocoPhillips said Wednesday that the transaction will add highly desired acreage to its existing U.S. onshore portfolio. This acquisition of Marathon Oil further deepens our portfolio and fits within our financial framework, adding high-quality, low-cost-of-supply inventory adjacent to our leading U.S. unconventional position. ConocoPhillips chairman and CEO Ryan Lance said in a prepared statement. The deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter. It still needs approval from Marathon Oil stockholders. Separate from the transaction, ConocoPhillips said that it anticipates raising its ordinary dividend by 34% to 78 cents per share starting in the fourth quarter. The company said that once the Marathon Oil deal closes, and assuming recent commodity prices, ConocoPhillips plans to buy back more than $7 billion in shares in the first full year. It plans to repurchase more than $20 billion in shares in the first 3 years. Shares of ConocoPhillips declined by 3.3% before the market open, while Marathon Oil Corporation's stock rose more than 7%.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.